Senate Majority Leader Mike Mansfield, here are the issues. Will the Warren Report become a political issue? Should we negotiate an end to the war in Vietnam? Do you favor a Johnson-Khrushchev summit conference? For the answers to the issues, Senator Mike Mansfield, Democrat of Montana, and Majority Leader of the United States Senate, member of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, and one of the Senate's most knowledgeable men in foreign affairs. To interview Senator Mansfield, ABC News correspondent Bill Downs and ABC State Department correspondent John Scali.
Senator, the Warren Report is now history. From what you know of the recommendations, is there anything in it that you see might become a campaign political issue?
From what I've seen of it, no, unless somebody wants to deliberately do so. I think it's a good, thorough report, and I certainly think that the members who comprise the Warren Commission, people of the stature of Senator Dick Russell and Representative Gerald Ford, Senator John Sherman Cooper, and Congressman Hale Boggs and their colleagues are men of the highest caliber and integrity, and they've done a painstaking, thorough, good, truthful job.
Well, you said that the Congress will follow up on any recommendations the report made. Do you have any specific idea of what you're going to do?
No, I didn't get the opportunity to read the report through to its conclusion, because it's not only one book, it's a number of books, really. But I did make the statement, and I repeat it now, that if there are any recommendations to be made to the Congress out of this report, we will give them immediate consideration.
You think that will possibly delay the adjournment of Congress?
I wouldn't think so.
Do you think that the report will silence or satisfy those in Europe and overseas, and some people in the United States, who insist the president was killed as a result of a plot or conspiracy?
Well, evidently the Soviet Union, in jumping the Warren Commission report, has turned out a story through TASS or Pravda. On that basis, there unfortunately are some Americans who feel the same way and who have been propagandizing this point of view. There are certain European journalists and others who also seem to think likewise. But I would put my stack on the Warren Report as truthful, conscientious, accurate, and good.
But you believe, sir, that it will not stop the legends. For example, after the Lincoln assassination, there were people, and there's still people, who will tell you that John Wilkes Booth escaped out of that barn and lived out his life in New Mexico and Arizona.
Oh, no. Tragedies of this kind leave their legacy in more ways than one. And there will be stories, there will be rumors, there will be the inside dope on what really happened. But for the first time in the history of this nation, perhaps in the world, a thorough investigation was undertaken immediately after the tragedy. And we have the facts insofar as this high-class commission could find them, assess them, and put them down on paper.
You agree then, Senator Mansfield, with the main conclusion, namely that the late president was killed as a result of one deluded man who had fancied wrong against him?
Yes.
Well, one of the recommendations, I believe, sir, was that there should be a shake-up in the Secret Service, possibly in the FBI, possibly in other security organizations, including, I suppose, the CIA, where there will be greater coordination, greater security for our president. Is there anything the Congress could do about that, or is that strictly an executive function?
Well, I would assume that would be an executive function. Of course, there is some recriminations made against the Secret Service in the report. I would point out, though, that in this day and age, it is almost impossible to protect any president. You may recall, for example, that Senator Dirksen and I some days ago introduced a resolution jointly seeking to give protection to all the candidates running on the two major parties. But it's a job which you can attend to with great diligence, but you cannot develop a foolproof system to protect these people who head our government or who may head our government, and how you can cope with the demented person who is off on the sixth floor of a building by himself with a rifle is beyond me.
Well, one way, wouldn't it be, sir, is to give them a little bit more money to operate with?
Well, as far as that's concerned, the Secret Service, I believe, and the FBI have never had their appropriation request cut, and if they need more money to protect the lives of the chief of state, that money will be forthcoming without question.
Well, Senator, Congress is going to adjourn possibly next week. How do you rate the achievements?
I would say that this Congress this year would rank with any other year in the history of the Republic. President Johnson sent 51 recommendations down beginning in January of this year. 51 of those recommendations have been passed in the Senate. 45 have become law. The rest are in conference, or bills like Appalachia, which we passed a few days ago, have still to be considered in the House. I don't see how you can do much better, and this, of course, is exclusive of the appropriation bills, and there you'll find that, as usual, the Congress has reduced the appropriations of the President considerably.
Well, Senator, the big question mark, of course, is the fate of the Medicare bill. How do you see this resolving itself?
That's hard to say. I am hopeful that out of the conference, which will resume next Tuesday, that some sort of a proposal will emerge because, as you know, what the Senate did was to pass a health care bill, not a Medicare bill, because the doctors are not involved, but it has to do with the hospital, nursing care, and nursing homes for our citizens who are 65 years of age or over. We have 18 million people in that category, and they're increasing at the rate of 1,000 a year. I would hope that we would, if we can't get the original King-Anderson-Gore bill, amendment rather, which was passed by the Senate, we would get the Ribicoff proposal, which gives the elder citizens of our country a choice between accepting additional Social Security payments or coming under a health plan.
But you don't see this happening in the next week, do you?
I'm hopeful.
What would you rate its chances in the House?
That I don't know. That's why I say I'm hopeful.
Well, Senator, is what you're saying that, at least as far as the Senate goes, that all the President's must legislation has been approved?
Every single piece of it.
And do you know of any parallel for a record such as this?
I do not. That's why I said that this year's record will stand up with the record of any year in the history of the Republic.
In other words, you think you've got a pretty good congressional record to go back home and campaign on?
Well, let me make a slight correction there. This is not a Democratic record. This is a congressional record. And the Republicans have time and time again furnished us the difference needed to get some of this legislation through. So I think the credit should go to the Republicans and the Democrats, who are members of the Congress, for the fine record which we've made this year.
Senator, just broadening our horizon here a moment, all the political polls that have come up with any conclusions so far show President Johnson way ahead of Senator Goldwater. Question number one, do you believe in these polls?
No.
Why?
Because I just have never paid any attention to them. I believe in hard work, handshaking, wearing out leather, wearing out shoe leather, meeting with the folks, and that's what counts, and not the polls, because it's just like legislation. You never know how a bill is going to turn out till they count the votes. I'm glad that they're encouraging. I think it indicates a swing towards Johnson, but I wouldn't place too much credence in them.
Well, what about the Congress or the Senate specifically? I think there are, what, 35 Senate seats up?
That's right.
Would you make any prediction about Democratic gains?
I anticipate that we will gain 2, 3, or 4 seats as of now.
Would you want to be specific in what states?
I would prefer not to.
Well, do you expect that the Democrats will gain in the House, too?
Yes, I would assume that if we gain in the Senate, they will gain from 10 to 15 to 20 members in the House.
Mm-hmm. Well, a personal question, too, in that area, Senator. Do you wish to stay on as Senate Majority Leader?
Well, speaking personally, this is a matter which is always up to the Democratic Conference. I didn't seek the position in the first place. The Democrats asked me unanimously, and I agreed with them. It's up to them.
Well, do you want to?
Again, it's up to them, because no one should seek a job of this kind. I don't mind seeking the Senate job that I am seeking, but I've never sought any other political position, and it's a little bit unusual in politics to really say you've been drafted for a job, and it's the truth.
Well, then you wouldn't turn it down, is it?
No, I wouldn't turn it down, because I found a great deal of satisfaction in working with my colleagues, in working with the Republicans, and being able to achieve reasonable results, and doing what we all could collectively in behalf of the interests of the country as a whole rather than either political party.
Senator Mansfield, one of the senators who has been mentioned as perhaps worthy of a important role in the Senate is Senator Pastore. Do you believe that he could be of great assistance to the president in any role in the Senate?
Yes, John Pastore is one of the outstanding senators, in my opinion. He has ability, integrity, he gets things done. He's a fine, forceful speaker. He represents his people well. And if he happens to be the choice of the Democratic Conference, that would be fine. But again, of course, the Democratic Conference would have to make that selection.
In working with the two presidents of this administration, have you found it easier to work with Lyndon Johnson than you did with John Kennedy?
I have found it very easy to work with both presidents. They differ in style. Kennedy was not as outgoing as Johnson is, but they've both been considerate, they've both been kind, and they've both made my path a great deal easier.
You think that the friendships and the knowledge that President Johnson had from his days in the Senate has been a major factor in the record of Congress in passing the legislation which he thought was so important?
Yes, indeed, I do.
But you have not worried about the principle of keeping the legislative branch separate from the executive. He hasn't been telling you exactly what to do. I mean, you are not... You exercise your own judgment, I mean.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Neither he nor President Kennedy has tried to tell me what to do, because both of them recognize the line between the executive and the legislative. I recognize it, and I'm very jealous of the prerogatives and the responsibilities of the legislative branch of the government. And as long as I am the majority leader, that line is going to be observed.
Senator Mansfield, Republicans say they're banking on what they call the silent vote, which has been called many things, backlash or anything else you want to call it. From what you have observed, do you see any real signs that there is such a silent vote?
Not in anything that I've observed, but I wouldn't gainsay them in that respect. There is a silent vote. There always is a silent vote. How that vote will go is anybody's guess.
Well, actually, what some people call ballot box bigotry, I mean, they can say one thing, but when they get inside that in the polling booth, they vote, their prejudices. They say this is true, that it showed up in the primaries in Wisconsin, Indiana, and Maryland, where Governor Wallace did gain a substantial vote. Do you think there's a real sleeper in this election?
Perhaps, of sorts, but I think that aspect has been overemphasized. That people are becoming more aware of what the law of the land is, and realizing that as far as its application is concerned, that the states in their laws have priority. So there may be something to it, but I think as time goes on that will dissipate.
Senator Mansfield, what do you foresee as the result of this election? Do you expect a landslide win by President Johnson?
I never expect a landslide win in any race. Any political race is difficult. Anyone who takes it for granted or who relies on polls, I think, is in for a rude awakening. It takes hard work, and it takes an acceptance of nothing which would indicate that it's going to be easy going. If you're going to win, you've got to get out and work and work and work right up at the last minute, just like for a piece of legislation. You have to get out and work for it. You know what the results will be when they count the votes, but only then.
Well, the Republicans say, sir, in connection with this silent vote, that there is now going on a political revolution, that there is a major realignment of our political ideologies. Do you think that's true?
No, I wouldn't think so, although there's nothing to stop people from either party going over to the other if they don't agree with the precepts of their own party. But as far as a liberal conservative party, which has been advocated from time to time, I don't see it in the immediate future.
You see, there's no threat to the two-party system. Say, if there's a Johnson landslide, the Republicans lose in the Congress, you have strangers, the regular party Republicans out of control, would you say there's a possibility that the Republican Party might disappear?
No, and I would deeply regret it, because I think that this party is strong because it has a good two-party system. And I would point out that parties have been down before, but they bounced back because the American people as a whole do not like to see too great a disparity between the two parties, and it isn't good for the country.
Senator, Mr. Goldwater appears to be making an issue out of the fighting in Vietnam, where he says both Defense Secretary McNamara and President Johnson are guilty of allegedly lying to the American people about what's going on there. Do you agree at all with this criticism? Do you think the President and Mr. McNamara have lied about what is happening
there? No, I thoroughly disagree. They have been telling the American people the truth. They have been telling the combined leadership, both Republican and Democratic, of the House and Senate, what the situation is. President Johnson has had, I believe, 10 or 11 meetings with the leadership of both houses, and that includes the Republicans this year, to discuss Vietnam mostly, but other matters as well. He has kept the American people informed. He is hiding nothing. And I think he's doing the very best he can within the knowledge which he possesses.
Do you object at all to Senator Goldwater making a campaign issue out of the fighting in Vietnam?
No, not at all. I think that any aspect of foreign policy should be discussed, but I would hope it would be discussed constructively. Anybody can criticize. Anybody can be negative. But if you do criticize, then I think you ought to come up with an alternative.
Well, as a matter of fact, Senator, you have been not entirely uncritical of what's been going on out in Vietnam.
That is correct.
And as you have put forward suggestions that perhaps we should negotiate a end to that.
Just a moment. First, let me say that I am, even though I am majority leader of the Senate, I am a senator from the state of Montana, and I have the right to my own independent judgment. I've exercised it. I will continue to exercise it in that capacity. I have said that, speaking of negotiations, that when President de Gaulle made his proposal seeking to bring about a settlement of the situation in all Southeast Asia, that it ought to be given consideration. I get a little tired of proposals being made by de Gaulle, for example, and our State Department automatically shrugging them off. Now, maybe he's got something, maybe he hasn't, but we have nothing to lose if we look into his proposal, because it is a difficult area. And we are involved there to a tremendous extent, both in terms of materiel and, more important, in terms of 18,000 Americans.
Well, he's de Gaulle, isn't he, talking about neutralization?
He has advocated that. If he's got something, let's look at it. But that does not mean that I advocate it.
Well, if we examine the de Gaulle proposal, and I assume the State Department has.
I would hope it has, but I'm not at all certain it has.
If it has, and it rejects the concept of neutralization as something which would weaken and eliminate whatever chances we have for a military victory, where do we go from here?
Well, let me say this. As I see it, our main job in Vietnam is to keep that, in South Vietnam, is to keep that country together, to try and give it some stability and some permanence. And I think what we ought to do, as long as you've asked the question, yes, is to see if something could not be arrived at by means of which the Cambodians and the South Vietnamese could arrive at an agreement covering their border. I think we ought to step up the defenses against the infiltration of men and materiel along the Ho Chi Minh Trail down through Laos. I think also we ought to make sure that we have stiff enough naval patrols to keep the same elements coming down by sea into South Vietnam. But the main job is to try and make that country stable, give those people some hope, because they've been in a war of one kind or another since 1939. And that is the number one job, not the idea of interdicting supply places in North Vietnam, not the idea of invading North Vietnam or Communist China.
Well, Senator, how do you persuade the Communists to do this, though? After all, there was an agreement whereby Laos was to be neutral and removed from the Cold War. They clearly have violated that agreement and are seeking to overthrow the coalition government of Laos. They are continuing to use the Ho Chi Minh Trail and indeed some of the areas up north for infiltration. How do you propose that you close off these routes short of sending in more American forces?
Not more American forces, because you got a 250,000 man army in South Vietnam, a Vietnamese army. I would put those people up there, take them out of Saigon and other places, and make them defend their own country. After all, this is their war. And as far as Laos is concerned, it's true that you've had North Vietnamese cadres coming in and joining the Pathet Lao. But Prince Souphanouvong is still in control. At least on paper, he is still the executive head of this government, coalition or otherwise.
Well, if you move them all up to the border areas to seal off whatever routes are available, then what happens inside the country where the Viet Cong are very strong and where they're capable of taking over control of many of the provinces?
Which they have already. But yes, then at least you give them a chance to bring about a degree of stability within South Vietnam itself.
What about Senator Morse's charges? He's been making them a long time, that the United States is engaged in illegal aggression in that part of the world, that we should admit it and turn the whole problem over to the United Nations.
Well, in the first place, the United Nations wouldn't take over the responsibility in that area, and nobody will do it with us. We're in there now, and the idea is not to go north, not to pull out, but to do the best we can to help the Vietnamese help themselves achieve the stability which they must have if they're to survive.
Well, Senator, if we sought to enter into any negotiations now for some sort of agreement with the communists, don't you think the present unsatisfactory military position on the western side would actually invite the communists to get the better of the negotiations?
Of course it would. That's why I would be against the negotiations at the present time, because if there are ever going to be negotiations, as far as we're concerned, we should negotiate from strength.
Well, then, do you favor sending more American military advisors into that area, or in some way doing something in a military fashion that we haven't done up until now?
I do not.
Well, General Taylor, I believe, reported to one of the congressional committees that we're stuck out there for a long, long war of attrition, that there's no military victory possible, that the only way we can arrive at a settlement is to make, through attrition, the fighting so costly to the Viet Cong and the communists that they will seek an arrangement. Are we willing to expend that amount of time and money and blood to get this result, which may maybe take years and years?
At the present time, Bill, we have no choice, and we'll see this thing through.
Do you approve of the instructions that are reported to be guiding American pilots out in that area, namely that if the North Vietnamese and or communist planes try to strike at the American ships in that area, that they should follow them and destroy them, even if it means crossing the North Vietnamese or Chinese communist borders?
I do.
That's the theory of hot pursuit. In other words, we should be prepared to risk intervention by Beijing, Chinese communist government.
Yes, if anybody attacks us, we should retaliate in kind.
Even if it does mean crossing the frontiers.
Regardless of the consequences, because we have to defend our own 7th Fleet and our own ships out there.
Do you know of any plans of getting CETO more involved, our allies in that part of the world?
Impossibility. As one of the signatories of CETO, I've never had too much faith in it. And I think it's been more of a paper treaty than anything else, and there's just no possibility.
Senator, some of the Republicans are hinting rather darkly that once the November elections are over, the Johnson administration will make some sort of deal with the communists on Vietnam.
Well,
do you know of any such deal in the works?
Absolutely not, and I certainly would hope that whatever moves we have to make in the region of Southeast Asia, we would not let November the 3rd intervene.
Well, thank you very much, Senator Mansfield, for being with us on Issues and Answers.
Our guest has been Senate Majority Leader Mike Mansfield, Democrat of Montana. He was interviewed by ABC News correspondent Bill Downs and ABC State Department correspondent John Scully. Join us again next week at this same time for another program of Issues and Answers. Issues and Answers is produced by Peggy Whedon, a presentation of the Washington Bureau of ABC News. Reports today. Today on the ABC Radio Network.